Our gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 9. Hear now God's word. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, before I begin my sermon proper, I understand that we had a busload of Wesley Commons folks who didn't make it today because of some confusion, so I hope they're listening on the radio, and we do miss you if you are. We will try for that not to happen again. And another announcement is this. At 9 o'clock, I was told not to use this opening illustration again at 11 o'clock. But I will. With my apologies to all those of you who are cat lovers, you won't like it. And it helps if you view the dispatcher at the fire department as being Bayard Lindell. One day, an older woman called the fire department because her cat was up a tree and wouldn't come down. The dispatcher was snippy and said, "We don't do cats and trees anymore, lady." She objected that hers was an indoor cat and could not get down by himself. The dispatcher replied, "Ma'am, he will come down." The lady said, "How can you be so sure?" And the dispatcher said, "Ma'am, I have never seen a cat skeleton in a tree." Just picture Bayard, it's better. Another thing that's been in the news lately that I don't, piece of information I don't know what to do with about something coming down. We've been warned that in the next few weeks, an out-of-control satellite complete with poisonous fuel is going to crash somewhere. We don't know where, but we do know it's coming down. What do we do with that information? I mean, walk in a zigzag pattern? I'm not sure. I don't know what to do with that information. I've also read with a related story that space above the Earth is so filled with debris from previous rockets and experiments and such that it's getting to be a very dangerous place. But eventually, over time, all that debris will lose the extra energy that got it up there, and it will fall to the ground. You see, up is not a natural state for created things. Whatever is up, over time, comes down. Even after the emotional and spiritual high of a retreat, some of you have been on retreats where you thought, "I'm going to keep this feeling forever," but you come down. I remember that feeling, that high of the first kiss, and you thought, "It won't get any better than this," and it probably doesn't. Or the wonder of that first child. Or the smell of your first new car. Everything eventually moves from the crowded orbit of up, down, to the ground, to commonplace. Sometimes it takes a little longer, but everything that goes up does come down, even spaceships, even satellites, and human hearts. On this day, we glimpse the true identity of Jesus of Nazareth and His glory. Like the disciples, we are let in on a secret of who He is and under whose authority He preaches and ministers. And our journey through these dark days of Lent, which begin this coming Wednesday, and I hope you will come to the Ash Wednesday service, and our journey through Lent, we need this experience to sustain us. Our own mountaintop experiences and our near glimpses of the holy help us walk our journey through our valleys. When we allow ourselves to review our lives, I think that we have all had mystical and transcendent moments, life-changing moments. For some of us, they're embarrassing to talk about, so we do not speak of them in public, but I do believe that we have had them. And like Peter, we all would like to build a bungalow and stay on that mountaintop forever, but the gravity of life on earth will not allow it. There is always a valley ahead, a Jerusalem below, a cross or such awaiting. Some moments do not come to stay, they come to pass, but they leave us changed forever. Now back to the more mundane. I have been researching flashlights lately. You wonder about that. Well, to quote a verse from the non-canonical book of Schwinn, you know the prophet Schwinn? It is not good to ride a bicycle in the dark. And so I've been looking for the perfect flashlight. Just as up is for moments of high energy and things tend to settle down to the ground, light requires energy from the outside and is not the norm. Darkness, or the absence of light, is what envelops us when our batteries run out, when the power runs out, when the sun goes down, when our spirits turn from God to something less. Faith sustains us above mere dusty existence in the dark. When we remember and recall those rare but real moments of uplifting energy and the light of God bursting in and opening our eyes and taking our fear and lifting us up to see that we are not alone in the dark. God has come here. God is here. And God's Spirit remains with us always. And the valleys do not have the final word. In God's reality, light is the norm, and up is forever. It is the afterglow of God bursting in Jesus Christ that we celebrate today and can perceive anew today. Because communion can be a moment of God bursting into our lives and lifting us up and holding us close and reminding us that what is up and light and love are eternally more real than sin and death and darkness. You can't build a shrine and keep those good mountaintop moments, but you can recall and gather strength from them and be on the look for new moments every day. Unexpected gifts, unexpected forgiveness when you do not deserve any, or moments of insight when you realize that you have been dead wrong about someone else and suddenly know them in a deeper and truer way, which is totally contrary to the way you had pigeonholed them before. These are all moments that God has burst in and given us insight, an uplifting and light-giving moments. Be on the lookout for God to send you uplifting energy and to break you out of the binds that you are in. If you've had none of these moments in a while, I encourage you to look around. God is knocking on your heart every single day, trying to get in, trying to spark change, and trying to light a fire so you can really see instead of be satisfied with the shadowy and dim bits of worldly wisdom. And yet, it is true that it is a fearsome thing to open yourself up to God's light and to see in a new way. But listen. Listen to what we all offer up in communion in just a few moments. The liturgy says that we offer ourselves up to God as a living sacrifice, as a holy and living sacrifice. We offer ourselves up to God for God to change us as God sees fit, to burn off what we have built to keep us comfortably insulated from God and from each other. This amazing story of the Transfiguration is one such powerful moment for Peter and James and John. And Peter wrote about it perhaps earlier than any of the Gospels were written in 2 Peter, the first chapter. He said, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we were made known to you in the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His glory. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we heard this voice born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain." Writes Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1. Something happened to Peter, James, and John that they did not understand at first, but they clung to it during the dark days that followed. And Peter wanted to enter a building project and lock himself up safely on that mountaintop. And sometimes we are locked into the safety of Sunday school or the safety of a worship service, time-bounded, stranger-discouraging sameness week after week without much bother of the world edging in. And that's what Peter wanted. And Jesus said, "No, no." They hit the ground in fear and would have been satisfied, I think, with a little clever teaching here and there. And that's fine, but this glowing brighter than the sun, glowing as Moses glowed coming down from Sinai and continuing to glow so that Moses had to wear a veil to keep from scaring the people. Or Jesus glowed like the angel's sword, or like God's presence in the Holy of Holies, or like the pillar of fire which led the children of Israel through the wilderness, like the famous burning bush from which God said, I am existence itself. The life force with which the universe and everything in it lives and has its being. There are times when we have felt such a glow. There are times when we have felt such energy, such as after a revival when we were especially touched, or a retreat, or even the funeral celebration of the life of a loved one. There are ways when God has been there to guide us and uplift us. When we look back, we can see it. But looking back and being safe is not what faith is about. Programming boundaries and times and places for God to work in and then leaving us alone the rest of the week is not what faith is about. Moses had to come down from the mountain. Elijah had to reform the people's understanding of the law. And Jesus, who embodied all that we can comprehend of God, glowed brighter than anyone before Him. Peter wanted to stay. But you can't keep God's revelation of love and light in a building. And you cannot call it faith if it is lived only a few hours a week and doesn't peep out there in the dark. Life and faith are all about becoming a truer and truer echo of the afterglow of God's love in the darkness. And that is what we are called to be. I love the story about three prospectors in California back in the mid-1800s who found a rich vein of gold. And during the gold rush days, they realized that they had to be very, very careful with their discovery. They said, "When we go into town, we have to make sure that nobody finds out about this. When we go into town to get supplies and claim our stake, we have to make sure no one finds out about this." And so they said not a word. They headed for town to file their claims, to get the equipment. And true to their vows, they didn't say a word to anybody. They bought their equipment, headed back to their mine, and they noticed a long crowd of people following behind them. The reason was the expression on their faces had given them away. Their faces were aglow in anticipation of the wealth that soon would be theirs. The people knew, even though they hadn't said a word, that they must have found something special, so they followed them right out of town. People's faces sometimes glow with good news. And I've had women in churches tell me they can tell when someone is expecting before they ever say a word because the mother-to-be's face is aglow. I'm not sure about that. But life and faith are all about becoming truer and truer echoes of the afterglow of God's love and God's light you have experienced. I am sure about that. When you look for and cling to experiences of God's uplifting light and echo them out to others, you are truly being a disciple. You will not be able to hide it. You will not be able to fake it nor keep it a secret. Your life will be like a lamp unto a hill. And whether it is dim or bright, it'll be a lamp that shows in the darkness, and people will see in you God's light and be drawn up off the ground and up to its source, God in Christ. Amen.